Welcome to the Two Tokens podcast. During these episodes, we will invite guests onto our show and discuss everything token related. You can expect to hear about token business models, the underlying technology stack, token governance, but also about mainstream topics such as NFTs. Does this sound interesting to you? Then make sure you subscribe and keep listening. And now, on to the episode.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to another podcast of Two Tokens. My name is Olivier Rikke. I'll be the host of today's podcast. And my role is being the, say, chief scientist within Two Tokens, heading much of the research. And besides that, I'm a PhD candidate on the topic of governance of decentralized autonomous organizations. And for today, that is particularly interesting, as we're going to talk about opportunities and challenges around the usage of DAOs, or decentralized autonomous organizations, in energy communities. And I'm obviously not going to do that alone. I'm sitting here together with Jos Reuling, captain of the energy track of Two Tokens. Jos, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, very, very nice that you're here. And Alex Pride, the co-founder of Haifa, or Haifa DAO, a DAO builder or deployment platform.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, that's great.
Excited to talk about this topic, especially because I've been doing research towards the governance of DAOs for 4 years, or close to 5 years even. But DAOs in energy communities. First, let's start figuring out what are we talking about? And can we start with energy communities? And can you explain what do we mean with energy communities? Yeah. What are they, Jos?
So sure. So the energy communities are a collection of groups of citizens that get together to get an alternative for the current offerings of energy products in the market. It usually is based for social benefit or for sustainability or for being independent of large cooperatives. So usually it's a local phenomenon that you see, but there are more and more other forms as well, like virtual power plants where people want to group together to bundle purchasing power, for better prices. Yeah, so you see quite a lot of different optimization and drivers why people can come together and form a community or a cooperative or other organization forms to have an alternative from the standard retailer offering of energy. Yeah, so currently the most emphasis is on electricity, although multimodality is also very high of interest. And multimodality, I mean also gas, heat, and other forms of energy, coming up like hydrogen and whatnot. And you see also that those communities, if they are very active, they broaden their activities into EV sharing, into all kinds of other associate local community activities.
Okay. And is this these energy communities, is this a new phenomenon or is it something that's been around for a while?
I think it's quite an old phenomenon. So in the Netherlands, the cooperative setup is a very long tradition in the Netherlands. For energy, as far as I know, it exists. So there are quite old cooperatives already running. But you see now with the back of new legislation out of Europe, so the European Repower Directive and the new energy legislation demands from every country to have new legislation to support energy communities, energy cooperatives, and also energy sharing. And those are new opportunities. Yeah, and that's why there is now so much interest in building and extending energy communities, energy cooperatives.
Okay, and by the looks of it, at least how you introduce it, it's not a new phenomenon, but we do see increasing interest at the moment due to regulatory changes, etc. How many are we talking about? How many are there already, say, for example, in the Netherlands?
So, top of my head, so I didn't do any research you did, but I think around 180 energy communities we have in the Netherlands. You see that depending on the legislation support that you have, there are more or less in countries in Europe. It's very active in Portugal, in Spain, in Italy, because they are front runners in Europe on supporting legislation on that. Mm-hmm. And some other countries, like in Germany, it's not so much a thing because there are some basic elements missing, like smart metering. Yeah, so you need to have some basic infrastructure in order to support that local activity.
Yeah. So it's a new way or a new way that's arguably, but a way to organize how we deal with energy on for a lot of people, local level, but you also see more extensive virtual levels that can be more globally focused or globally, probably not, but
usually within a country. Okay. Yeah. But there are technical issues, and some current incumbents have put forward proposals to prevent it. Yeah, only limit it to local communities.
Right. Yeah. But they organize themselves around a shared energy interest. Let me put it like that.
Yeah, indeed.
So from that organizing it to DAOs is.
One of the things that you see in those communities, there are small kinds of groups. So you can start a community with a 2, but 100. But you need to have all those different organizational burden that you need to do. Yeah, you need to do bookkeeping. You need to do allocation. You need to do your purchasing. You need to do your billing and invoicing. You need to all those different things you need to set up. And that's why we are looking for other ways of solving it other than an Excel sheet and pen and paper.
Yeah. Yeah, that brings us to DAOs, Decentralized Autonomous Organizations. Alex, what are DAOs? And be very careful. I wrote a scientific definition about it. Yeah. No, how do you perceive, what are DAOs in your view?
Yeah, so DAOs are a collaborative space giving voice to all members to make decisions together and distribute value, the value created collectively as well. So for me, it's really a trusted space and also an empowerment of the members themselves, to really act on their ecosystem, on their environment. And energy communities are a perfect example for that in the sense that people with the digitalization, this new form of organization can participate, and have a say, have a voice, in how the energy in their locality, in their municipality will be actually managed, and how the value will be shared between the constituents so that they can also benefit from, this entire value being created. So for me, it's really like, if the members were now co-invested into this energy sector, and we know that energy is, of course, essential in our daily lives, and that's where a lot of power lies as well, So by decentralizing this energy sector, we are actually starting an evolution, a revolution maybe, that will really, really empower people to organize themselves, knowing their context and knowing their needs. They are the best place to do that efficiently.
Yeah. So on the one hand, we have then the organization form, the decentralized autonomous organization. We're talking about decentralization of the energy market, basically creating energy communities that might want to be self-sufficient, yes or no, or hybrid forms, or etc. Mm-hmm. What would be the best benefit of applying DAO structures to energy communities? What would be the core benefit in this case?
Yeah, for me, DAOs are living systems, and these communities will need to be agile, will need to make decisions on the strategies that they want to apply when producing energy, local energy and green energy, right? And that's something really important to note as well. That's a possibility really to transform to renewable energy quickly and in a decentralized way. So it's a living system because things are changing. Our world is moving really fast, and the current organization structures are too rigid, for the complexity that we are facing today. So DAOs are a fantastic opportunity, you know, once again to empower people, but also to always evolve, you know, like nature does. You know, our design at iFi is really inspired by nature, and we are learning a lot from looking at nature and how living systems are organizing themselves, you know, and how collective intelligence, you know, can also be applied to those spaces to make the right decisions to create a context for the communities to thrive, you know, and to fulfill their needs.
But then an important part, and now we come to the discussion of DAOs, is that you really democratize decision making, etc. So you step away from the traditional hierarchy structures and say, hey, we have this community and all the participants can start voting according to the amount of voting rights they get in this DAO, and then they in the end also cover a shared treasury, because in the end it's all about the flow of value in this case.
Yes, yeah. I would say value and impact as well, because we are talking about green energy and you know, positive impact on the ecosystem and the environment. So DAOs offer also the possibility to trace, you know, in a transparent way, the impact and encode the impact, you know, using tokenization so that it can be acknowledged and transformed back into value that will support the community to, you know, enhance their different installation equipments and, you know, expand the production of green energy.
And what would you then tokenize in this case? Because you say, hey, due to transparency, the DAO can, or due to tokenization, the DAO can be more effective and see what their impact is, etc. What is it then that you tokenize at that point? What token will be the proof of the impact? Let me put it like that. Yeah, I see.
We just discussed it this morning.
Let me give it a try. You can extend, of course. Alex. So there is a notion of energy attribute certificates, which is a granular form of guarantees of origin here in Europe, which goes to an hourly certificate scheme. And we can tokenize it, to have an easy exchange of those certificates. One of the examples that we elaborated this morning is based on power purchase agreements. So power purchase agreement is an instrument in the corporate world, B2B, where you agree which energy volume you purchase against what price, and usually bundled with those certificates. Now in the case that we are we're playing out this morning is, how can we apply that to fight energy poverty? Yeah, so if people are in a low income situation, then the government will then classify them as being part of energy poverty. And we can then create a power purchase agreement in the DAO stating the energy price for that particular token holder. So you will receive a token from the government with the power purchase metrics, so your amount of energy and the price, and that then is linked to the energy being created based on your smart meter reads on the kilowatt hours, the actual energy you consume. Yeah. So, and that's a novel mechanism to programmatically create energy systems. Yeah. So the programmable energy, as advocated by two tokens, is now becoming a reality for energy poverty in this case. Yeah. So anything to add, Alex?
No, amazing. And we'll tokenize energy as well, right? With the energy token, kilowatt per hour energy token. So that's also creating a local economy, right? So,
But if just for my understanding and also for the listener, is this before or after the fact, the tokenization? So do I get I'm eligible for 1 kilowatt hour, or I produced 1 kilowatt hour and it gives me an economic... Where do we do the creation of the
token? Yeah, so in the token model that the tokens has created, we have the ex-ante tokens, so before the market, those are power tokens. And the best way that in the current way of in the energy system, that's a power purchase agreement. Also, if you have a fixed price contract with your retailer, that's also a power purchase agreement. So there is the volume is then mostly variable, but the price is set. So that's all upfront, and that determines the price of the generation and the consumption. Yeah. So based on a power purchase agreement, so your agreement with your retailer on fixed price, you pay a certain price for your kilowatt hours. And in the model that we created is that we take the smart meter as a trusted crypto anchor. Mm-hmm. And based on the smart meter data, we mint the tokens for kilowatt hours. And if supply and demand match, so we have a trade. And then we can burn the tokens because the trade is settled. Yeah. So that's a mechanism. So the before the market is power tokens. And after the market, exposed is the energy tokens. And that's why we need to have two. And if we go into advanced use cases like energy sharing or shared fractional ownership of solar farms, then we have also an asset token. So to identify which asset you own without a power token, because it's self-consumption, so you don't pay any energy price for that, no kilowatt hour price.
And in this case, in the energy communities, the appliance of DAOs, what problems would it solve?
So there is quite a complexity in the whole ledger of your contracts. Mm-hmm. So the merit orders, and also the accounting of all the energy being consumed and being generated on a 50-minute granularity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so existing systems, as already explained by Alex, are very good for the old system, doing daily kind of granularity.
Daily, but daily now the reconciliations and then
the reconciliation is done annually. Yeah. So and we go to program time units of 15 minutes here in Europe. I think the technology also supports 5 minutes, as is the cadence in Australia. Yeah, so also to solve all those issues. And you want to have the flexibility also to optimize for lowest price, optimize for inclusive, optimize for least emissions. So that depends on the local energy community, how you can optimize. And the flexibility of a DAO is that you can change it if the insight of the members change their point of view over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
And that's not possible, to my estimate, in the current system.
So you do it for you see upsides for using DAOs in the provenance of information and the automatic execution of business rules there, where the community decides on, and
indeed,
the community can update it accordingly.
Indeed.
Then. Okay.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think and Alex need to explain the connection between different DAOs. Yeah. So currently you see organizations standing up that do your billing and invoicing for an energy community, because it's quite complex. You need to comply to all the government rules. Also, there is a role of balance responsible parties. So energy trading is not an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there is now a non-profit energy trading company that supports all those local energy communities. Yeah. So and I think that's something that Alex need to explain, how he can support those mechanisms as well.
Yeah, because DAOs can be organized as part of an ecosystem, right? And can be organically created based on the needs of the communities.
So a local DAO for a local energy community.
Exactly. Yeah? So each energy community will have their own local DAOs, but we can also form an ecosystem of DAOs. And the beauty of that is that we share learnings, we share technology, we share infrastructure, etc. So we can really get into an efficient place. But what it does as well is that it creates needs for what we call service DAOs to support the energy communities with specific services that they need, right? So accounting, billing, invoicing, legal, support, etc. So there's definitely this idea of an ecosystem with a shared purpose, that can form and that can share resources, knowledge, and allow the replication of the model and the blueprints, that we will apply in the different communities.
But then one devil's advocate question that pops up immediately.
Sure.
I do see the possibilities for DAOs in local energy communities, etc. For the support services, why do they need to be DAOs? Why can't they be traditional organizations, etc.? It doesn't have to have a DAO structure.
Yeah, because no, it doesn't have to, but it's really convenient to be a DAO, because then you can create what we call DAO to DAO agreements and services, meaning
you can have a DAO to company smart contract agreement, and sure. It doesn't the support services doesn't have to be organized as a DAO in itself. And don't sure. get me wrong, after doing research to DAOs for 5 years, I am supportive of DAOs, but I am neglecting to the fact that DAOs should be used for anything. So that's why the devil's advocate question.
Yeah, of course, it's not an obligation. It's just for convenience and access and belonging into this ecosystem of DAOs, right? So that would create proximity for these service DAOs to actually serve and service the different communities, you know, directly from within the ecosystem.
But who would be the typical participant in these servicing DAOs? Let me call them like that.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be the local energy community DAOs would be in themselves then be a participant in the servicing DAOs?
Or? No, not in that case. Okay. I mean, unless there's cross-pollination, of course, and that can always happen. But the idea is that the service DAOs will organize their activities, with the core team, right, to deliver the service. But what will happen is that they will have an agreement, right, DAO to DAO agreement on-chain and direct, which will allow them to perform a quest, you know, inside the energy community DAO and deliver services and be rewarded with energy tokens as well, right, and participate to this economy of energy, right, local economies.
Okay.
So that's a proximity, you know, a convenience and this idea that they are co-invested, if you like, inside the ecosystem as well.
Okay. So it's obvious that you both see great opportunities with regards to DAOs in these communities, and we can have a lengthy discussion about the services ones, because maybe I agree, maybe I don't. Sure. It depends on a lot of parameters, and we just have a few minutes, so we're not going to dive into that. And it's a great discussion, right? Because it's going to help us further anyhow. But so we emphasize on the positive sides. What are the negative sides of organizing this in DAOs?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for the energy domain, the complexity. Yeah. So the energy domain itself is very complex, very hard to understand. That's why I'm an advocate of tokenization. So it hides all the complexity into single tokens, but like containers does for shipment.
Mm-hmm.
But when I experience and try to explain it outside my supporters, then it's very hard to explain. They feel it's too complex. It's because energy is a low interest commodity. Yeah. So, and there is not a lot of enthusiasm outside the core group, to go for this innovative kind of solutions. So, that's a big hurdle. The other thing is regulation. So, we need to have support from regulatory bodies for energy as well as for finance. So, those are, I think, two major aspects that we need to work on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I will add the human aspect and the transition. Into those spaces, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's quite different from traditional structures, because suddenly, you know, members have a say. They can, you know, influence the decisions, and that requires, you know, education, mindfulness, a transition process.
I'm really glad you're mentioning this, because this is, again, I love the concept of DAOs, but one of the downsides is with regards to the governance. Everybody is allowed to have a say, but does mm-hmm. everybody want to have a say all the time in in managing the DAO?
Sure.
And that's the human aspect you're referring to, right?
Definitely, yeah. And that's where IFA stands out compared to other DAO solutions, because we have the core team layer where we have people who want actually to participate, to have activities inside the DAO and to organize the DAO. And we have the community layer, which is a lighter engagement, which is more in the space of the collective sensing, collective intelligence, where, you know, members can participate to polls, for example. They can answer a question, but they don't want necessarily to be involved in defining the process, you know, to organize activities, right? So we are conscious of that, and we've organized the structure of the IFA DAO in a way that tackles this problem, you know, or at least starts to respond to it. Yeah.
When now we're going to take a glass ball, look into it. when will we see not the first experiments, but see DAOs being accepted as a mechanism in this energy world?
Mm-hmm. So for that, I think we need to have a very good point of view and an attractive proposition.
Mm-hmm.
We need to address all kind of non-technical issues. Yeah, like the education, social inclusivity, getting all the stakeholders aligned. Yeah, so I don't know. So I think it will take a time. Yeah, before I think
we will see the first pilots this year, and then, you know, progressively learn from that, and, you know, that's an experimentation space. So and that's the beauty of using DAOs for that, because we can capture the knowledge, it's all transparent, and we can transpose and learn the lessons, if you like, through the process. So I think we'll see quite a few pilots this year, and then, you know, we can take the time to update and to learn from that and see how we can evolve from there. But definitely the first steps are close, I think.
Well, that's great to hear. I think we can talk for hours on this subject,
for sure.
And we've been doing that in the last few days already. I do feel that we're going to have an update podcast on this subject in a few months down the road to see where we're standing from there. But for now, I really want to thank you, Alex, and thank you, Jos, for your participation in this podcast. And I hope that you enjoyed it as a listener as well. We're going to have an update on this subject without a doubt in a few months down the line. So thank you so much for listening, and also dive into the other podcast that we make with Two Tokens. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Oliver. Thank you, Alex.
That was it for today's podcast. Thank you for listening in, and please subscribe so you don't miss out on our upcoming episodes. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find our contact details at www.twotokens.org.